Tyler Linderbaum is going to be the best free agent offensive lineman this offseason, and because he used to play for the Baltimore Ravens, everyone is now connecting him to the New York Giants, with John Harbaugh taking over as the Giants' next head coach. There are a lot of rumors indicating that Harbaugh is going to pursue a lot of former Ravens in free agency this offseason, and Tyler Linderbaum being among them. There are a lot of rumors connecting the Giants to Linderbaum specifically, a lot of reporters indicating that the Giants have a significant amount of interest in signing Tyler Linderbaum, one of the best centers in football, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, one of the most durable offensive linemen in the NFL. Could he be a fit for the Giants in free agency? Possibly, but if they want him, man, they're going to have to pay up for him. Tyler Linderbaum will not come cheap. He could have a contract that nears $20 million per season, making him one of the most highest paid offensive linemen in all of football as a center. We're going to go ahead and break it down. Should the Giants sign Tyler Linderbaum? Pros and cons of such a deal, if that deal gets done, and everything in between as the Giants explore reuniting Linderbaum and Harbaugh. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? Tyler Linderbaum, man, it's a lot of money for a center, but he's a damn good one. Do you think that the Giants should go ahead and sign him?
It's a very loaded question. I know a lot of people have reservations about his pass protection. And on this podcast specifically, we want to talk about the system the Giants are going to run and really why Linderbaum, guys, this is a three-time Pro Bowl caliber center. I understand that people have reservations about his ability in pass protection. You think he's overrated. Guys, like, giving your young quarterback a really good Pro Bowl caliber center is not a bad thing. It is a very, very good thing because that communication, his, you know, the pre-snap information that Linderbaum's able to provide, there's a lot of different variables that benefit a young quarterback like Jackson Dart being able to trust, this guy's got my back, especially in the ground game. If you're Cam Scataboo and you're looking at Tyler Linderbaum up front, you're feeling pretty good about that hole opening up. If you're Tyrone Tracy and you're looking at the second level and you get there and Tyler Linderbaum's blocking off and sealing off that block, you're feeling pretty good about where you're at. From a ground game perspective, with Greg Roman now in this facility, you know, Matt Nagy's quick offense, he wants to get the ball out fast, West Coast style, play action heavy. This is a good fit for the Giants objectively. Like, if, aside from the money, Anthony, Tyler Linderbaum is a really, really good fit for the Giants. He also helps expedite the cultural shift they're trying to implement in the locker room. This guy is tough as freaking nails. He plays every single snap. He's never played less than 1,000 snaps in a season. How many times did John Michael Schmitz miss time? He's not there. He's not, you know, it's not even close. He is double the quality of run blocker as John Michael Schmitz, and he's a better pass protector than John Michael Schmitz. So, like, you're talking about an exponentially better player. The question is, how much is that worth? Well, here's the thing. So I kind of like referenced why he's a good player. Let's talk about the money problem. The Giants have $7 million in cap space this offseason. They have to pay $10 million just to their draft class. So already, let's assume the Giants are in the negative. They're going to have to restructure some contracts, Brian Burns, even Javon Holland. Like, guys are getting a Paulson Adebo. We're going to see some restructures. They're going to clear about $15 million in cap space is my projection. They still don't have that much money left over. What they're really going to have to do is structure these contracts to have year two big cap hits. So next year, in 2027, the Giants have $129 million in cap space minus $20 million for two draft classes. You're looking at about $108 million. And then you have 2028 when you have $263 million. You can push a lot of money into the future. You have Jackson Dart still under contract, Aldo Carter, Brian Burns, and Andrew Thomas, four critical pieces. And then obviously, you know, you'll have to figure things out from there. But you could easily rationalize pushing the cap hits into year two and year three of these deals because Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland will not be on the team after 2027. So, like, you can push those cap hits 2-3 years from now and feel very, very comfortable doing that. Obviously, you pay the bill a little bit later, but if these guys you feel are instrumental to the success and culture and expediting of progress with this team, you make those moves. All we hear is how the Giants really want Tyler Linderbaum. At least that's what the reporters are kind of stating. He makes perfect sense. $17, $18 million per season for him. It's a big price to pay, but he's not just a player. He's a culture guy. Like, he's the guy you're bringing in to be a culture guy. He's durable as hell. You're never, like, Jackson Dart, he's going to be taking snaps from the same guy all year long. That is so important for a young quarterback to have that stability in front of you. So Do I think he's worth it? I do, based on the schematics of where this team is going, how much money the Giants have in the future, and the fact that I don't think, you know, and by the way, a little teaser here, we're going to be interviewing Jermaine Illuminor this week, which will be really, really fun for you guys. I don't think his market's going to be $20 million per season. I think it's going to be maybe half of that, to be real. And if that's the case, you can easily justify bringing back Tyler Linderbaum and bringing back Jermaine Illuminor, and then you have the draft. And you could easily rationalize making those two moves. We'll see what happens with Wandale Robinson and whatnot, but you can afford those moves, in my opinion. And then you could figure out what to do with John Michael Schmitz later. But yes, like, I know some people have reservations about Tyler Linderbaum. I don't. This is a really good move and an easy one for the Giants to turn things over on offense, set a new standard, and get a guy who's durable and has three Pro Bowls in 4 years under his belt.
So, yes, all those things are true, but at the same time, we are talking about making him the highest paid center in football, and centers typically don't get paid all that much. I'm going to go through here and give you guys context on the highest paid centers in the NFL. Creed Humphrey with the Kansas City Chiefs is number one, making $18 million per season. There's a good chance that Linderbaum's next contract matches that $18 million per season or even pushes beyond that towards $20 million per season. You're talking about guys like Creed Humphrey, Cam Jurgens makes $17 million, Drew Dahlman for the Bears makes $14 million, Lloyd Cushenberry of the Titans makes $12.5 million, and Luke Wattenberg makes $12 million with the Denver Broncos. There are only a handful of guys, less than 10 guys, making over $10 million per season at the center position. Now, then that begs the question, why is that the case? Why are teams not paying centers? Well, it's because it's considered, among NFL evaluators and among team builders, the least valuable offensive line position. The center blocks people at the lowest amount, right? Because you're talking about the center doesn't always have a guy in front of him. Sometimes teams play with a nose tackle and they play with a zero, and that zero goes after the center every single play. But a lot of teams, they don't play with a nose tackle. They play with three techs, and those guys are matched up with the guards, and the center is just kind of helping and doing a little bit of double teaming on those guys in pass protection oftentimes. So the center position is kind of like the running back position, where the NFL has devalued it over time because they don't view it as doing enough on a down-to-down basis. They view it as more replacement level as far as positions on the offensive line go. It's the easiest to replace because it does the least on a down-to-down basis. Now, you could also argue the opposite. You could say, well, they call out protections and they tell the offensive line which way to slide. They are the communication piece and the quarterback of the offensive line. You can make that argument as well. And for the New York Giants, if you're going to sign Tyler Linderbaum, you're going to make that argument. He's going to fix the offensive line's communication. He's going to be the schematic building block that you kind of put the whole offense around. And that is true. If you're signing Tyler Linderbaum, you are now making a shift here. The New York Giants are going to be running an offense that is downhill, that runs a lot of inside zone, and that has Tyler Linderbaum lead blocking to the second level for Cam Scadaboo. And I won't lie to you, hearing that sentence right there, Tyler Linderbaum blocking at the second level for Cam Scadaboo, that gets me excited because that is the definition of smash mouth football. That is a big mauling center punching a linebacker in the face so that Cam Scadaboo can get to the next level and then punch a safety in the face. That's what we want to see as Giants fans. We want to see the power and we want to see the explosiveness, and we know that that starts in the trenches. And John Harbaugh, he knows that it starts in the trenches. He builds his teams inside out. He loves to get those offensive linemen in there, set the tone, set the foundation, and then add all the other accessory pieces around the big offensive lineman. So if you're trying to build it in the John Harbaugh style, you're trying to bring over a guy like Tyler Linderbaum. Linderbaum was a controversial decision for the Ravens when they drafted him in the first round 4 years ago because he's a center. That was the argument then, and that's the argument that's going to lead him to hit the unrestricted free agency market now. Why would they sign a center to all of that money? And that is where I have a pause with it. If the Ravens, who have this guy in their locker room, who've built their offensive line around him, if they are not willing to pay him the average annual value of the highest paid center in the NFL, why should the Giants be willing to pay him? And again, I'm kind of just making a devil's advocate argument here, Alex, because I'm still on the fence, very much on the fence. On one hand, I love the idea of Tyler Linderbaum blocking for Cam Scadaboo and Tyrone Tracy Jr., and I think that he would transform the offensive scheme. But on the other hand, the question that I just asked, if the Ravens don't want to pay him all that money, why should the Giants? What's your take on that?
I don't think they had to. I think the reality is they could skirt by with the, you know, franchise tag. They could just let his rookie deal kind of go run its course. They didn't have to extend him and commit money until they had every ounce of proof he was worth it. And for their system, he was worth it. Now you have to look at the fact that Harbaugh obviously no longer with the Ravens. Their system is going to change. Their offense could change. Like, things are different for them. So we'll see what the Ravens actually, what their plan is. I'd also love to see who they replace Ty Linderbaum with. But this is a move to establish a sense of consistency in an offensive line that has been extremely volatile and injury prone over the years. Last year was the best year, Anthony, that we've seen in how long? 10 years, maybe literally a decade worth of sample. If you were to run back an offensive line with Andrew Thomas, John Runyon, you add Ty Linderbaum, you could even bring back Greg Van Roten and extend Jermaine Illuminor, that line's better than it was when we ended the season. You have a top 10 offensive line with that line. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't like Greg Van Roten. I don't like John Runyon. I don't care, because that's a top 10 offensive line in football. It is really freaking hard to build good offensive lines these days. The Giants have a chance to do that. Finally, solve a problem that's been plaguing them for years. And all I see is people saying, I don't want to do that. Why? Do you remember the days of Happy Feet Eli Manning when his career was just tanking because he couldn't stay in the pocket for more than 2 seconds? Daniel Jones and how bad we screwed him in the beginning of his career with the offensive line. You have a chance to give Jackson Dart a rock solid offensive line that is good at communicating, good at run blocking, good at pass protection, and people are saying no. And all it's going to cost you is money, and we have so much of it in the future. That's where I get a little bit of pause. I'm like, we have a problem to solve one of the most grueling problems that NFL teams face these days, the most grueling problems, and we're going to turn our back and go in a different direction and pray that either John Michael Schmidt stays healthy and gets better, which I am not convinced by, especially with Carmen Brasillo now off the board here. We don't know what that line's going to look like, and I'd bet more that John Michael Schmidt regresses than improves with a new offensive line coach. So I don't know. I'm more for stability, health, durability, consistency. Tyler Linderbaum brings all of those things. Yes, you're going to have to pay for it, but it solves one of your biggest issues over the last 10 years with one clean swoop, and you're able to still bring back Illuminor on a deal I think will be nominal. I don't know. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Giants, especially with the run-heavy system. I do think they're going to run.
All right, let me keep playing devil's advocate and ask you a couple of rapid-fire questions here regarding the Tyler Linderbaum contract. Let's say that it does come in around $20 million per season. You sign him, now you can no longer afford to sign Jermaine Illuminor. Mm-hmm. Are you still signing Tyler Linderbaum?
I mean, probably. I think that in that instance, you're probably looking to Marcus Bowe as your guy that you're going to have to throw into the mix at right tackle, and probably adding another piece there. You know, could be a cheaper alternative to Jermaine. In economics, they call it opportunity cost, right? You make one decision, something else has to be compromised. Something else has to be solved. John Michael Schmitz is the weakest link on this offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have a chance to solve that.
But outside of Andrew Thomas, Jermaine Illuminor is the strongest link on this offensive line. Are you willing to sacrifice Jermaine Illuminor in order to sign Tyler Linderbaum and make that upgrade at center? I mean, and again, it comes down to the argument, what's more important? Locking down center, whether that be with an elite talent or an above average, or locking down right tackle with an above average talent? I think it's a worthwhile argument.
For sure. I think my mind, I love Jermaine Illuminor. So like, obviously my mind is stuck between a rock and a hard place with this one, but from a objective perspective, Jermaine Illuminor is 31 years old, right? He could experience a drastic regression in the next 2 years. Tyler Linderbaum is 25. So I'm going to take my chances with the young guy that could be under contract for 4 years and give us 1,000 snaps every year than a 31-year-old right tackle who could decline over the next couple seasons. So I would opt for the stability over the more volatile option. However, I don't think that you have to choose. I think you can bring back both.
Yeah, I think you can bring back both, but let's just say Jermaine Illuminor. I know there's kind of reports floating out there now that he might not get the contract that he wants, but who knows? Free agency starts, teams start bidding, price goes up. All of a sudden, now maybe you can't sign both. Would you prefer to have the above average right tackle or the elite center, right? I think that is a really solid debate to have. But I'll also ask you this question. $20 million per season for Tyler Linderbaum. Would you rather pay that or take that $20 million and redistribute it to more than one spot on the offensive line that's not at center? Because with $20 million per season, think about it. John Runyon Jr. is tied to a $10 million per season contract as a starting left guard. You could literally get two starting offensive linemen for the price of one. And albeit he's a really good one, Tyler Linderbaum is elite, but he's elite at the least important position on the offensive line, arguably. So would you rather pay the $20 million at center or pay $10 million for a left guard and $10 million for a right guard, or $10 million for a right guard and $10 million for a right tackle, and upgrade both of those positions? You know, do you kind of see that argument as well, where you can really reinvest that money elsewhere?
I mean, look, in theory, you could argue that makes sense, but you're getting, well, now that the cap's rising, right, you're probably getting a slightly lesser version of John Runyan for $10 million than what you got a couple of years ago. Like, you're getting a player that may or may not be good. Right, that's kind of what you're getting for $10 million at guard these days. You're getting a player that may or may not be good. We got that for a minimum with Greg Van Roten. I actually think he performed more like John Runyan than he did like a much lesser offensive guard. We got really good value out of him. Obviously, I prefer like a better player, but it is what it is. I'd say I still opt for the guarantee over the maybe. You know what I mean? Like, I get a guaranteed 1,000 snaps, elite run blocking, and solid pass pro from Tyler Linderbaum every single season, like guaranteed, essentially. As close as you can get, obviously, like nothing is guaranteed, but as close as you can get. That, you pay for that level of consistency. I know it's not the most important position. However, because of our scheme, because of what the Giants are going to do, it's more important. A good center is more important than the average in the NFL right now. I think we'll be more leaning on a good center than a team like the Rams might be, or a team like, you know, a pass-heavy team might be, for pass protection purposes, leaning on a center. Like, our offense is going to run through the middle. Cam Scottaboo, those inside zone runs, like those, you know, that's where he kind of lived last year. Those power on the outside, that you want him getting to the second level. You're building an offense that needs a good center, so you kind of need a good center. I think in our exact situation, in our context, Linderbaum is more valuable than taking a shot on another John Runyan at that price point, you know?
I think that I agree with more. I think that the argument for John Runyan versus Tyler Linderbaum is more reasonable. But if you're talking about taking the $10 million and putting that right guard and left guard, let's say, and I think part of that argument is, if you're taking that $20 million that you're not giving to Linderbaum, you could cut John Runyan, you save $9 million there, and now all of a sudden you've got $29 million to spend on both of the guard spots. So it's really more like $14 and $15 that you can put at those two spots. But even still, I think you're right. You're getting a serviceable player with that money versus an elite player in Tyler Linderbaum at center. And he can change the look of your offense. Let's talk about schematic fit here with Tyler Linderbaum, because I think that's really where it comes down to a yes for me. If I'm going to say yes, I'm going to say yes because he fits the scheme. What are the Giants trying to run? They're trying to run an offense that stitches together the best parts of Kansas City, of the old Ravens offense from a few years ago, and the old Cincinnati Bengals offense from years ago that Brian Callahan was a part of. They want it to be a run-heavy offense to set up the play-action passing game. You need a really good center to have a really good play action passing game. If you want to be able to run those RPOs, it's very crucial that you have a center who's smart enough to block the way that he needs to in pass protection on a running play and not get to the second level so he doesn't get flagged for illegal man downfield. Tyler Linderbaum is a master at that, which is why the Ravens are able to have so much success on those zone read options with the rushing quarterback of Lamar Jackson, but also with the RPO passing game, because Tyler Linderbaum really holds the middle of that offensive line together and doesn't get downfield illegally. So if you're the Giants and you're trying to build this offense that has these West Coast passing concepts from the Kansas City Chiefs and Matt Nagy, that has the RPO passing attack from Brian Callahan's offensive system, but also has the zone, inside zone run heavy scheme from Greg Roman implemented into it, the center is honestly the connecting piece that makes that entire scheme work. So whereas other teams, maybe a team like, I don't know, the Cardinals used to run this air raid offense under Cliff Kingsbury, right? They don't need a center. They don't need an elite center because they're going to let the pass rushers run by and they're just going to throw these quick passes anyway, right? Something like that. You don't need the center and you don't make the investment there. However, for a team like the Giants that's building this very specific scheme and is very intentional about building it from the interior of the offensive line outward, maybe signing a center like Tyler Linderbaum to all that money actually does make sense. Alex, what's your take on how he schematically fits what the New York Giants are very clearly trying to do on offense this season?
I mean, listen, like you mentioned it, there is really nobody else. You know, he can do zone and gap schemes. Like, there is nobody else that is good as Tyler Linderbaum, potentially in the NFL, outside of Creed Humphrey, that is capable of managing both schematic styles. And then you have Greg Roman, who's like the, okay, like this, if there was ever a sign that was neon red pointing to a free agent, Greg Roman being hired is that red blinking neon sign. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that he's the run game coordinator, he is run heavy, he emphasizes that. You need to have a good run blocking center. You have to. It's non-negotiable. John Michael Schmitz is, I'm sorry to say, not very good at run blocking and not very good at pass protection. You know, I think he was helped a lot this past season by Jackson Dart's ability to do stuff off script. You know, like that was a huge part of it. Not to mention he got hurt at the end of the season. He's had injuries like almost every year. You're not getting that with Linderbaum. You're getting an elite zone and gap style center who can kick out to the second level, can get out there on screens, can help block when things break down, is really smart. You know, three-time Pro Bowler, comes from one of the best organizations in the sport, brings a monstrous amount of leadership to an offensive line that desperately needs a guy to really step up and be that leader. He brings stability, durability. Yes, it's going to cost you, but in a year from now when the cap goes up another $20 million, no one's going to give a crap. You know, no one's going to care. Not to mention, Anthony, let me throw another little wrench of my own into the equation. What happens with John Michael Schmitz when you replace him with Tyler Linderbaum? Well, let's look at John Michael Schmitz as a nice little fun coupon, a little $5 million fun coupon, because if you cut him or you trade him, think about it, someone will probably be open to trading for John Michael Schmitz that could use an upgrade at center, maybe. Really, the intention is just to get rid of his contract, which is $4.6, $4.7 million next season. So you just trade his ass, you get a $5 million fun coupon to apply to Tyler Linderbaum's contract, and you really get him for $15 million for that first year, Tyler Linderbaum. And then you have to pay for a center anywhere. You have to draft one, pay one, acquire one somehow, some way. Now you've got that situation figured out. So, you know, think about the money savings from JMS. You also get $5 million there. That also gets kicked into the fold. So that's another element that I would be remiss if I didn't include. And there's more guys in here. How about James Hudson? That money's coming off the books. You know, how much is that? How much is that again? Hudson's that is
let me kind of parlay this. Yeah, that's $5 million for Hudson. Let me parlay this into a conversation about the rest of the offensive line, because obviously we're trying to stack together the opportunity cost here. That's the term you used earlier, and that's really what we're debating about Tyler Linderbaum. Is he worth the opportunity cost? But now that you're bringing up other avenues to make money, let's say you want to upgrade the rest of the offensive line as well, or maybe the goal here is you want Andrew Thomas, you want Jermaine Illuminor, and you want Tyler Linderbaum. How do you afford all three of those guys? John Runyon Jr. sticks out. You just mentioned James Hudson. Giants are obviously cutting him. He was unplayable last year. He's gone. John Michael Schmitz, if you sign Tyler Linderbaum, you're 100% right. They could cut him outright for $3.8 million in cap savings. All of a sudden, you cut James Hudson and John Michael Schmitz, and you're up to $10 million extra dollars in cap savings from those two releases. Now, if you really wanted to, if you really prioritize Jermaine Illuminor over other players, you could move on from John Runyon Jr., and you can move Marcus Bowe to guard, potentially start him there, and draft a competitor, or take the $9 million that you save from cutting John Runyon. All of a sudden, you have $20 million extra dollars. Now you could probably arguably upgrade at left guard over John Runyon, because guys, let's face it, John Runyon, he's pretty good. He's a decent starter. He's not great.
Dude,
he's very much
take half that money.
You could definitely find somebody better than John Runyon.
Elijah Vera Tucker. Throw $4 or $5 million at him. He didn't play a single snap last year.
Keep an eye on Wyatt Teller at right guard. Wyatt Teller was just coached by Mike Bloomgren, the New York Giants' new offensive line coach. He spent this past season with the Cleveland Browns. Wyatt Teller was injured this last year, along with all of their starters on the offensive line in Cleveland. That's why they had such a poor time over there on the offensive line, at least. They had a lot of poor times for different reasons over in Cleveland. They're the Browns, for God's sakes. But Wyatt Teller is a really good player, three-time Pro Bowler. He's going to be hitting the open market coming off of a down year. I could totally see him reuniting with Bloomgren and being an addition for the New York Giants on a very low-cost contract. And I would definitely pay three-time Pro Bowler Wyatt Teller at right guard John Runyon's salary and move on from John Runyon personally. So that's just me. But I think you're right. The more we've talked through this, the more we've had this discussion. Like I said, I started out on the fence. I think I'm starting to lean to one side of the fence over the other, and I'm starting to get on board with Tyler Linderbaum. Just because the more we discuss it, the more I realize what a schematic fit it is, the more I realize what an impact he could truly have on the run game for the New York Giants, and the more I realize that the money, while it is somewhat of a hurdle, it is somewhat of a problem for the New York Giants to find the money for Tyler Linderbaum. There's a lot of ways that they can create that money. There are a lot of players that they can cut. There's a lot of dead weight to move on from. And we haven't even mentioned the restructuring of Brian Burns. That's probably inevitable. The restructuring of Andrew Thomas. That's probably inevitable. And a lot of the other moves that they can make. Kayvon Thibodeau is another potential
Graham Gano.
If they can find a trade partner for him. They are going to cut Graham Gano. They're probably going to cut Jamie Gillen, I hope. And a lot of other players are just going to be moved on from. So while you got to kind of stack it up, hey, is it worth signing him for $20 million versus you could re-sign Illuminor and Wandale Robinson and, you know, sacrifice a potential signing of Linderbaum? I do think that there are so many positives to potentially signing Linderbaum that do outweigh the potential negatives. I think this could be a transformative signing for the Giants offense and really help them institute that new scheme that they're trying to build.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, listen, we can do a quick little math session right now, just looking at who they could cut. I mean, Bobby Okereke, I wouldn't rule out either. He has $9 million in savings if they cut him, and the Giants might be looking to, you know, overhaul that linebacker room. So we'll see what goes on there. But just like, let's assume they keep John Runyan Jr. Let's assume they just keep him just for the ease of this math. James Hudson's going to save you, like you mentioned, $3.5 million. Oh, sorry, $5.8 million. So almost $5.4 million you're getting from James Hudson being cut. Then you have Devin Singletary, who you could save $5.25 million. You're getting Cam Scadaboo back. You could always draft somebody in the late rounds to replace Singletary. There's another $5 million there if you want it. Roy Robertson Harris is $3.3 million there if you want it. Graham Gano, there's $4.5 million that will absolutely be cashed in. John Michael Schmitz, there's $3.8 million. They could maybe potentially trade him and actually keep $4.3 million. Jalen Hyatt, he's gone. That's $1.5 million in savings. And they'll replace him with a draft pick probably. So like, there's a lot of money here to be found, guys. There's a lot of money here to be found. They can restructure. They're probably going to create another like $15 million. They can absolutely, they're going to push the majority of the cap for Linderbaum into year two anyway. So I don't even care about that. They're going to be able to sign Linderbaum. They're going to be able to sign. You could bring back Greg Van Roan on a minimum deal. They'll be able to sign Jermaine Illuminor. It's just a matter of everybody else. Like, they're not gonna be able to bring both Wandale and Cordell Flott back, obviously, but maybe one of those two guys. They're probably letting go of Dane Belton. There's some other free agents out there that for a cheaper cost. Even, dude, if they draft Caleb Downs, Tyler Newbin, buddy, welcome to special teams. So like, you know, you have guys who eventually end up there anyway, one way or another. But like, I'm not worried about the actual cap space right now in terms of the ability to invest in the offensive line. But most importantly, you have your quarterback. You have Malik Nabers. You have a top five pick, all your draft capital except for a third round pick, and you have money to spend in the future. There is no reason the Giants should look at the offensive line and say, this is good enough. No reason. Because if it isn't good enough and John Michael Schmitz freaking stinks again, we're going to be wondering why the hell they didn't do what they had to do to actually upgrade the unit. That's where I'm at right now. Last year was good, but it wasn't good enough. You could give Jackson Dart a truly tremendous offensive line with durability, stability, and talent, and a good schematic fits across the board, and feel really confident in his development, because everything right now should be about Jackson Dart's growth, not compromising it by cheaping out because you want to sign some other bum at another position, okay? Go get the guys you know are good. Go get the guys that have durability. Go get the guys that are multi-time Pro Bowlers in the first 4 years of their career. They're easy decisions. I know it's an expensive thing, but the Giants have money. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. And don't be worried about the pass protection concerns when it comes to Tyler Linderbaum. The Giants are going to be running a very run-heavy and play-action-oriented offense that predicates itself on getting the ball out fast, which mitigates offensive line pass protection weaknesses and liabilities. So whoever's telling you to be concerned about pass protection, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for this scheme. It's completely irrelevant. So that's where I stand on it, and I think that Linderbaum would be a great culture fit, help establish an actual leader in the locker room in the offensive line where we could use one.
And he is a great leader. If you do any research on the character of Tyler Linderbaum, his work ethic, all of those things, he's an absolute green flag. He checks every box in that regard. He would probably step in and immediately be a captain for the New York Giants offense, or at least be among those top leaders, vocal leaders in the locker room. And I honestly don't hate the idea, just the general principle idea of having two elite offensive linemen out of those five starting positions. You're talking about Andrew Thomas and Tyler Linderbaum as two-fifths of your offensive line. You're probably talking about a top 10 offensive line in football, regardless of who you put at left guard, and right tackle. So that is an argument to make as well. Plus, Andrew Thomas, also a great leader. Tyler Linderbaum, a great leader, a durable one as well. If there's ever a question mark about Andrew Thomas, it's health. That's never been a question mark for Tyler Linderbaum. As you said, Alex, he's played 1,000 or more snaps in every single season of his career. And he's gotten better, I would argue, every single season of his career, as he has just continued to evolve into the best run-blocking interior offensive lineman, arguably, in all of football. I see your hand is raised. I'm going to call on you. What is it, Alex?
So let me ask you a question. In the Super Bowl, what was the most important thing about the Seahawks winning that game? Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, just tell me, because I could think of five different things.
Their pass rush, yes, right? Their pass rush was amazing. Why did the Patriots get absolutely whacked? Because their offensive line was dog water, okay? You had Will Campbell sitting there on the edge scooping duties out of the freaking urinal. This is a situation where the Giants have a chance to build
a urinal, dog.
That's how bad it was. It was freaking embarrassing. What I'm trying to say is, the only way to combat these really good pass rushes in the playoffs is to have a really good offensive line. The Giants have a chance to build that for their young quarterback. Do it. Don't cheap out on this position.
Let me put a teaser for a future episode here, okay?
Oh, God.
What was the other reason that the Seahawks won that Super Bowl?
Special teams, special players, special plays.
We're talking about Tyler Linderbaum, the prized Ravens free agent. There's another one. There's another Ravens All-Pro set to hit the open market this offseason. I am going to pound the table for this guy. This is the number one free agent that I want the Giants to sign. Do you know who it is, Alex?
It's definitely, is that safety? What is it? Who is it?
It's the punter.
Signed the punter.
First team All-Pro in 2025. The best punter in football by that metric. I mean, listen, you're talking about paying the best punter in football $5 million per season. I will gladly take James Hudson's wages and give them to the best punter in football. I mean,
facts.
Seriously. The Giants sign ridiculous contracts every year. Guys like James Hudson making $7 million average annual value. Ridiculous. You could sign the best punter in football, flip the field consistently, and play the field positioning game at a higher level than any other team in the league by signing a top-tier punter. So that's just a teaser for a future episode, because I know, Alex, you and I, we've been working on this. We're going to do a full breakdown of all of the Ravens free agents that we think the Giants could, should, or would sign this offseason. We'll revisit this Linderbaum discussion, because obviously our opinions, they change a lot, you know, as we get more information, as things change with the Giants, as things change with the Ravens and the rest of the free agent market, our opinions are going to change too. So we're going to revisit the Linderbaum discussion soon, and we're going to talk about the other Ravens free agents. What about Isaiah Likely? What about Jermaine Jones, I think is his name, the pass rusher. What about Jordan Stout? All of these guys, we're going to have a big discussion about the Ravens free agents that John Harbaugh might be interested in bringing over to the Big Apple to play for the New York Giants. So a great discussion here on Tyler Linderbaum. Like I said, I was on the fence at first. I'm still on the fence. I haven't gotten off of it yet, but I'm definitely leaning one way now as opposed to the other way that I was leaning before we started the conversation. And I know Alex, he made a really strong argument for Tyler Linderbaum. So all of you who disagree with him, make your strong arguments against Tyler Linderbaum down below in the comment section. And make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And like I said, comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.